Chapter 4. Oliver begins a new life with Mr. Brownlow. Oliver was very ill for many days. He woke at last, pale and weak, from what seemed like a long and unhappy dream. He lifted his head and looked around him. An old lady with a kind face was sitting in an armchair near his bed.
"Where am I?"
asked Oliver in a weak voice.
"Shh,"
said the old lady softly.
"You must keep very quiet or you'll be ill again. And you have been terribly ill. Lie down again, my dear."
And the old lady, whose name was Mrs. Bedwin, gently laid Oliver's head back down. Oliver put his small hand on hers.
"Oh, what a dear, grateful boy you are! What would your mother feel if she could see you now?"
said the old lady, with tears in her eyes.
"Perhaps she does see me," whispered Oliver. "Perhaps she sat by me while I was ill. I almost feel as if she did." "No, no, my dear, that was your illness," said Mrs. Bedwin.
She gave Oliver a cool drink and told him to rest again. In 3 days' time, Oliver was well enough to be carried downstairs. He sat by the fire and accepted a bowl of soup from Mrs. Bedwin. To Oliver, the bowl looked big enough to feed many children in the workhouse.
"Do you like pictures, dear?"
Mrs. Bedwin asked, noticing that Oliver was staring at a portrait on the opposite wall.
"I don't know," said Oliver. "I've seen so few. But what a beautiful face that lady has. Who is she?"
"I really don't know, my dear. It's not a portrait of anyone you or I know," said Mrs. Bedwin.
"She's so very pretty, but her eyes look sad and they seem to watch me,"
said Oliver.
"Heaven help us," said Mrs. Bedwin. "Don't talk that way, child. I shall move you so you won't see it."
She carried Oliver to the opposite side of the room so that the portrait was behind him. Just then, there was a soft knock on the door and Mr. Brownlow came in. Oliver tried to get up from his chair, but he could not. Seeing the child so weak and pale, Mr. Brownlow's eyes filled with tears.
"Poor boy," he said. "How do you feel?"
"Very happy, sir, and very grateful for your kindness to me," replied Oliver.
"Good boy," said Mr. Brownlow. "Now tell me your name."
"Oliver Twist, sir."
Mr. Brownlow gave Oliver a strange look.
"I hope you're not angry with me, sir," said Oliver.
"No, no," replied the old gentleman. "But look, Mrs. Bedwin, what's this?" he cried, pointing to the portrait behind Oliver's head and then to the boy's face.
The eyes, the head, the mouth were all the same. Oliver was not strong enough to bear the shock of Mr. Brownlow's sudden cry, and he had to be quickly carried upstairs. The next time Oliver came downstairs, he was disappointed to see that the portrait was not there.
"Ah, it's gone, you see,"
said Mrs. Bedwin, noticing Oliver's face.
"Mr. Brownlow thought it upset you and might prevent you from getting better."
"Oh no, it didn't upset me at all. I liked it very much,"
said Oliver.
Well, you must get better as fast as you can, dear, and the picture will be hung up again,
promised Mrs. Bedwin. On the day that Mr. Brownlow took Oliver to his home, the Dodger and Charlie had run away from the crowd and hidden in a narrow doorway. When they had got their breath back, Charlie started to laugh.
Be quiet, said the Dodger. Do you want to be caught, you fool?
I can't help it, said Charlie. To see Oliver running away like that, knocking into things, running off again, while I had the handkerchief in my pocket. Oh, how funny it was!
What will Fagin say?
Asked the Dodger, while his friend was laughing. Charlie had no answer. The Dodger took off his hat, put his fingers through his hair, and put his hat back on again. Then he led the way to Fagin's. The old man looked up crossly when they came in.
Only two of you? Where's Oliver?
Fagin shouted, grabbing the Dodger by the collar.
The police caught him,
said the Dodger, who managed to escape from the old man by getting out of his enormous coat.
What the devil is going on here?
Growled a deep voice as a large man of about 35 came into the room. He wore a black coat and had a dirty handkerchief around his neck. A white dog with cuts on its face followed him into the room.
Lie down,
the man shouted at the dog, and he kicked the dog across the room. Then he turned to Fagin.
What are you doing to that boy?
He said.
I wonder that the children don't murder you. I would if I was your apprentice.
Hush, Mr. Sykes, said Fagin. Don't speak so loud.
Don't call me Mr. Sykes. You always mean trouble when you say that,
said the man.
You know my name.
Well then, Bill Sykes, Fagin said. You seem cross, Bill.
What if I am?
Replied Sykes, sitting down.
Get me a beer, and don't poison it.
This was meant as a joke, but if Sykes had seen the terrible look on Fagin's face as he poured the beer, he would have thought this advice necessary. As Sykes drank his beer, the Dodger and Charlie told him what had happened to Oliver.
I'm afraid that Oliver will say something to the police and get us all into trouble. And I'm afraid it will be worse for you, Bill, said Fagin.
Sykes looked angrily at Fagin.
Somebody must find out what happened at the police station, he said.
But neither Fagin, nor Sykes, the Dodger, nor Charlie wanted to go anywhere near a police station. The four of them were sitting and staring at each other without speaking when Nancy arrived, wearing a red dress and green boots.
Nancy, my dear, said Fagin. We need you to go to the police station and find out what has happened to Oliver.
Yes, Nancy will go, said Sykes.
I won't, Bill, said Nancy.
Oh, yes, you will,
said Sykes, standing up. Nancy could not refuse him.
I'll ask where my poor little brother is, said Nancy.
Ah, she's a clever girl,
said Sykes, hitting the table with his enormous hand. At the police station, Nancy soon learned that Oliver was ill and that an old gentleman had taken him away to Pentonville. She hurried back to Fagin's with the news. As soon as Nancy had told her story, Sikes put on his hat, called his dog, and left.
"We must find Oliver, my dears," Fagin said, greatly excited. "Charlie, Nancy, Dodger, I'm depending on you to find him. Take this money and go."
"Should we take him to the other house?" asked the Dodger.
"Yes, yes, now find him quickly," said Fagin,
and with these words he pushed them through the door.
"Oliver hasn't talked about us yet," Fagin said to himself when they were gone. "But if he does say anything to his new friends, we'll have to make him silent."
Oliver soon got strong again, and his life at Mr. Brownlow's was very happy. Everybody was kind and gentle, and the house was very quiet and tidy, so different from all the places he had lived before. To him, it seemed like heaven. One day, he put on the new clothes and shoes that Mrs. Bedwin had given him and went to speak to Mr. Brownlow in his study. He knocked quietly on the study door and went inside, finding himself in a room full of books. Mr. Brownlow was sitting by the window, reading.
"Come and sit down, Oliver," said Mr. Brownlow.
Oliver did as he was told.
"Now," said Mr. Brownlow in a serious voice, "I have something very important to say."
"Oh, please don't tell me you're going to send me away, sir," said Oliver.
"My dear child," said the old gentleman, "you need not be afraid of that, unless you give me a reason."
"I never, never will, sir," replied Oliver.
"I hope not," said Mr. Brownlow. "People have tricked me in the past, but I feel I can trust you. The people I loved most are dead, but I have not made a coffin of my heart. I only say this so you will be careful not to hurt me. You say you are an orphan without a friend in the world. Tell me your story, Oliver. Where do you come from? Who brought you up? And how did you end up in the place I found you?"
Just then there was a knock on the door, and an old gentleman dressed in a blue coat and a white hat came in.
"Ah, Mr. Grimwig, my old friend," said Mr. Brownlow.
"Is this the boy you told me about?" asked Mr. Grimwig. "Who is he, then? Where has he come from?" he demanded. "When are you going to hear the true story of the life and adventures of Oliver Twist?"
"Tomorrow morning," replied Mr. Brownlow, "when we are alone."
"I don't think you can trust him," said Mr. Grimwig.
At that moment, Mrs. Bedwin came in with a small parcel of books.
"Is the boy from the bookstall still here?" asked Mr. Brownlow. "I wanted him to take back some books."
"No, sir, he's gone," answered Mrs. Bedwin.
"Send Oliver with the books," said Mr. Grimwig
with an unkind smile.
"I'm sure he'll return them safely."
"Yes, do let me take them, sir," said Oliver.
"I'll run all the way." "All right, my dear," said Mr. Brownlow.
"You must give the bookseller the books and pay him the £4.10 I owe him. Here's a £5 note, so you must bring me back 10 shillings change.
I'll be less than 10 minutes, sir,
said Oliver, taking the books and the money. When Oliver had gone, Mr. Grimwig said to Mr. Brownlow,
You don't really expect him to come back, do you?
Don't you?
Asked Mr. Brownlow, smiling.
Of course not, said Mr. Grimwig. The boy has new clothes on his back, expensive books under his arm, and a £5 note in his pocket. He'll go back to his robber friends and laugh at you. If that boy returns to this house, I'll eat my hat.
As the evening grew dark, the two old gentlemen sat in silence and waited.